It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwin.
And I'm Bruce Gellerman.
And with us now is Arjun Makajani. He's president of the Institute for Energy and the Environment in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Hello, sir.
Hi, Steve.
And we should remind folks that at one time in your life, you were a nuclear engineer.
Well, I did my doctorate in nuclear fusion, and I also took courses and seminars and so on in energy and nuclear engineering, and I've worked in industry and consulted with utilities and so on, yes.
But for the last 20 or more years, you've been studying the situation regarding the use of nuclear power.
Yeah, actually, I started studying that 40 years ago when I started studying energy. And for the last 30 years, I've been involved more in nuclear disarmament, nuclear waste, nuclear spent fuel management, energy, and 15 years, 20 years, again, nuclear power. So revisiting, second time.
What's going on right now at the Fukushima reactors?
Well, they've got four reactors in deep trouble one way or another, and a fifth one that bears watching. And there are two elements in each reactor that are important. One is the reactor itself. All the reactors are shut, but it's like a pressure cooker with heat coming from the inside even when it's shut because of the radioactive fuel rods. And so they have to be cooled, and they've had problems at different levels in terms of failures of cooling. Now, reactors 1 and 3, I think they're able to maintain some amount of cooling. And when they do that, some of that becomes steam, and they have to vent this radioactive steam. They've had various degrees of meltdown. Reactor 1 apparently has had a 70% meltdown or damage of some level of the fuel. Reactor 2 has had 33% damage / meltdown, but they're also able to maintain some water flow. But in some cases, the containment of these reactors is damaged, as for example in Reactor 2, so they're venting more radioactivity to the atmosphere. And in Reactor number 4, the spent fuel pool seems to be pretty damaged. That's the only part of that reactor that is damaged. The water has started boiling yesterday. They had hydrogen evolution and then hydrogen explosion and one or two fires. And it's unclear whether they can establish cooling. So there are two very large sources of radioactivity, reactor and spent fuel pools, and so 8 sources in various stages of distress. There aren't 8 sources emitting radioactivity all the time, but some of them are emitting radioactivity more or less some of the time.
I understand that Tokyo Electric Power Company officials are saying that they are not detecting containment failure in Reactor 3.
In Reactor 3, there seems to be some damage, at least according to the French safety authorities, and I'm looking at the report of the French safety authorities, that there has been some doubt thrown on the integrity of that suppression pool where the radioactivity is supposed to reside to prevent it from being emitted. But that's not 100% sure. Now, I don't know whether Tokyo Electric knows something more in the recent 12 hours or not since this was written. I can't say. I certainly don't have an independent evaluation of that for you. I'm looking at secondary facts either from Japan, and I think the best outside summary has been published by the French safety authorities.
What's the trajectory here? Things getting better or getting worse?
Well, I think some things do seem to be more or less stable. Like, there doesn't seem to be boiling of water in the spent fuel pools of reactors number 1 and 2. And reactors number 3 and 4, the spent fuel pools are in distress. And 4 certainly been bad since yesterday, and radiation levels went up partly because of that, apparently. And reactor number 5, the temperature in the spent fuel pool is rising, but it's still far below boiling. And unless there's a leak, it would take several days to boil. But if there's a leak, it would boil faster. I think what has happened is some of these problems are coming to light days afterward because I suspect there have been cracks and leaks in the pipes due to the severe earthquake. We were all focused on tsunami initially, but these problems are loss of water from the spent fuel pools at a slow level would not be detected easily in this kind of chaos. And then suddenly you have this hydrogen evolution and steam and explosions and fires and so on. But despite all of that, some things, reactors 1 and 3 do seem to be, they are able to inject the water, the amount of radioactivity seems to be contained. I mean, this is the reason that this hasn't gone to the level of Chernobyl yet. But the overall long-term source of radioactivity in the 4 reactors and spent fuel pools involved is much greater than Chernobyl, so there is a potential for it to evolve badly.
Could things get so bad in just one reactor or spent fuel pool that they'd have to abandon the entire plant, and then they couldn't deal with any of these issues?
Well, you know, the spent fuel pool in Reactor 4, I don't know how much spent fuel they have in it, but in the first 3 reactors, where the pools are not, don't appear to be very full, even in those 3 reactors together, there's more than 10 years worth of spent fuel stored there. Reactor number 4, I would guess, has more, since they had sort of more deep distress there without distress in the reactor. And if that is correct, and there are further explosions of fires in that reactor, and they're not able to get water from the outside into that very easily. I think it's a very, very tough situation. If it gets that contaminated, then there will be some very rough decisions as to, you know, how they're going to have workers work in extremely radioactive environments. The normal way to do that in the nuclear industry, where there is work in very radioactive environments, even in normal times, you know, when maintenance has to happen, is for workers to work a minute or two or even 30 seconds at a time and then be replaced by other workers so that nobody gets a huge dose of radiation, and or a few minutes at a time. And they may have to go to a regime like that, but they definitely can't abandon these reactors because that would sow the seed for a pretty big catastrophe.
We're getting some press reports that the reactors located south of the distressed reactors, about 10 miles away, that evacuations have been ordered around those. I think it's, Fukushima Daini?
Daini reactors. I have looked at the Tokyo Electric company website and also at the French Safety Authority's evaluation. They don't report any problems at these reactors, either inside the reactors or in any spent fuel pool. So, and I actually don't know whether these are Mark I boiling water reactors. I haven't looked into it since they said that they don't appear to be any problems. And also north, the reactor north of, north of Daiichi at Onagawa also has reported no problems from inside the plant. They measured some elevated levels of radiation, but they suspect they might have come from Daiichi.
I had just understood that at Daini they had ordered the minimal evacuation around that.
There were some alarms initially. I think they have measured elevated levels of radioactivity, but you know, elevated radioactivity has been measured as far away as Tokyo, and given the condition and the damage in the Daiichi Fukushima reactors, it's quite likely that, you know, elevated levels of measurement would be measured 10 miles away from the Daiichi reactors. I'm not sure. I don't know that there isn't damage at the Daini reactor, but I'm not aware of any reports of damage, but maybe they're ordering or suggesting evacuations as a precautionary measure, because right now there is a very big fog of this nuclear crisis and nobody knows how much to evacuate or what to evacuate, since radioactivity obviously has spread pretty far.
Arjun Makajani, which way do you think overall things are going at this point? Things getting better?
Well, I think some things have gotten better and stabilized. As I said, the reactors, you know, like Reactor 1, they're able to put water into the reactor. And even though the core is very, very damaged, but it is possible that, you know, there could be still a degradation of the situation. But so far, I think they have succeeded to their credit in controlling the situation. They also are able to maintain injection of water in reactor number 2, which had that explosion on Monday, I believe. I think at the same time, some situations are clearly getting quite bad. I think the situation in the spent fuel pool in Reactor 4 is bad. That spent fuel pool is boiling. I don't think that they are able to get an adequate amount of cooling water, so far as I can tell, in there. There are two holds at the top of the building due to the explosion, or on top or side of the building due to the explosion. And, you know, a few more days like this and could produce a pretty big catastrophe.
We now know that there have been warnings about this particular design of the GE Mark I reactor going back to the 1970s.
Yes, you know, I think the technical people who are involved with these kinds of things, you know, are like in any other group of people. You have a variety of opinions, and some are more cautious and some are more adventurous, and some want to charge ahead, and some say, well, you know, just watch out. Let's kind of look 20 years ahead. So you will find a record like this. I mean, this was also true of the World Trade Center buildings. When they were designed and built, I mean, people were worrying about aircraft attacks. And then, you know, they did pay attention to small aircraft attacks, and obviously not enough to big ones. So this is a fairly typical situation in complex technical debates. And what we have to do, and what I'd love to explore with you both and living on Earth, is how do we elevate those voices without going nutty or without being reduced to inaction? Because obviously any new thing has a risk, and how do we, you know, without succumbing to, you know, fear and therefore not making any progress and doing good new things or even alleviating risks through old risks or new inventions, how do we elevate voices, and how do we know which ones are sensible and which ones are not? That's a debate I think we haven't had properly. And I think the tragedy of these reactors being situated in an earthquake zone that was tsunami prone, well, you and I can talk about it now and say, you know, oh yes, you know, this is part of the Ring of Fire. But how was the debate, and how was this missed? We're in the middle of this tragedy. And it was the same with the Challenger, you know, with the O-ring and so on.
What do you make of the Chinese announcing today that they're suspending their nuclear power build-out program? They have 28 of them on the drawing boards now. They're suspending a pending review, and they're actually calling for a comprehensive review of the existing reactors in China.
I think the Chinese reaction is a lot more healthy than the U.S. reaction. I haven't heard from the U.S. NRC any reevaluation, even of the critical elements where the National Academies or Brookhaven National Lab, as I think I mentioned in our previous conversations, have said, take care of these spent fuel pools and manage them differently. And for modest expenditures, you can accomplish a big increase in safety. Or really, I think the NRC seems to be moving slowly toward the reevaluating their old earthquake criteria and so on. But I think the Chinese attitude is much healthier, and it's interesting, you know. They don't have the same democratic system and traditions, and yet they have announced this. They maybe they don't have the same lobbying traditions also, you know. So maybe that's too cynical.
Well, they're a lot closer to Japan as well. I mean, if the wind were to reverse, it might be a big problem for them.
But I think the Chinese have gone into nuclear technology kind of rather slower. And once they jumped into it, they jumped into it in a very big way. But I know I was in China in 1996, 1997. And at that time, there was a debate about whether China should get into this or not. I don't think they had decided. They had a couple of civilian reactors, but they got into nuclear from the Cold War era of the 50s and tensions with the United States over Taiwan and some islands off of China, et cetera, nuclear showdowns. And then their rupture with the Soviet Union. It was all about nuclear arsenals and deterrence. It wasn't about atoms for peace or anything like that. And I think they've gotten into nuclear reactors late as part of mastering new technologies and new adventures and exports. So that's my surmise. So I think it's very good that they want to revisit this thing, because the track they were on is not only large amounts of nuclear power plants for themselves, but also to get into the export business so that they'd then be easier, cheaper all over the world. I think we definitely need a timeout on this. I think the Germans are being very prudent. Even the French president reportedly has called for a G20 summit on nuclear power. Now, I don't know where he's headed, but we need a timeout on nuclear.
Well, the Secretary of Energy, Stephen Chu, just today testified before Congress, and he said that the president still supports tens of billions of dollars in loan guarantees for the building of new nuclear power plants here.
You know, I oppose them, but it's beside the point to talk about loan guarantees, increasing loan guarantees at this time, because it would be more to the point to revisit the Price-Anderson Act. We have an $11 billion limit on nuclear industry liability for which they don't even pay a premium. They just promise to pay $100 million each in case of a severe accident, and then we hope that the government will appropriate the rest to take care of whatever additional damages. It will be subject to congressional appropriations. This in a situation where the Brookhaven National Lab estimated maximum damages at $546 billion from a spent fuel pool accident at a closed power. In today's dollars, it would be about $700 billion. So we've got the numbers are like completely mismatched. If we're going to have a debate about numbers and liabilities, that's where the debate should be. What are the maximum possible damages, and how are we going to cover damages at the same time that we're talking about deficits? What's going to happen to deficits if we have to repair the kind of damage of hundreds of billions of dollars from a single spent fuel pool accident estimated for this country? I'm not projecting from Japan. I'm talking about a U.S. study for U.S. spent fuel pools. And so, you know, the debate is very disconnected from economics and energy and risk and how you calculate risk and how we should deal with it. And tragic events don't seem to galvanize and recenter the debate in this country in a real way. I mean, I'm thinking about the horrible, tragic situation of Congresswoman Giffords. I mean, it's not my field, but as a human being and somebody who lives here, I can say, okay, so many people got shot, a wonderful woman by all accounts. I don't know her, but, you know, had literally a bullet through her head and is heroically and wonderfully recovering, we're happy to hear. But it has not engendered a debate that has been recentered on the role of guns and the Second Amendment, which 25 years ago wasn't interpreted in the same way, to my knowledge, as it has been in the last 20 years. So I despair that we're going to have a debate on nuclear energy, which is as sensitive ideologically for reasons I don't understand. I mean, I don't know why nuclear energy is an ideological debate.
It's time for us to go now, but before we go, tell me, what will it take to get a handle on the situation there at Fukushima?
I don't know. I think they are doing things along the right lines. They are putting borated water into the reactors, which is preventing accidental criticalities and, you know, keeping down the risk of complete meltdowns. They're trying to get water into these spent fuel pools, and the problem is in varying degrees of success. I think it's very difficult to say what further measures. You know, in Chernobyl, they put sand on the fire, but it was a different kind of reactor and a different kind of accident sequence. So I don't know whether similar measures would work or aggravate the situation. So I think people who have been involved in managing these reactors, and I haven't, are probably putting their heads together, not only in Japan, but internationally, the IAEA, the United States, to figure out what additional things they can do. But the basic things that I know of from nuclear engineering, they certainly are doing.
Arjun Makajani is president of the Institute for Energy and Environmental Research in Tacoma Park, Maryland. Thank you so much, Dr. Makajani.
Thank you very much, Steve.